Well, let's go ahead and look at our lesson tonight. We're continuing our study of opening up Proverbs. It's kind of an overview through the whole book of Proverbs. And we're about halfway through, and we've spent the first half looking at the first nine chapters or so of Proverbs. And the first nine chapters of Proverbs are somewhat of an introduction or a prologue, where you see longer discourses, longer speeches about the value of wisdom, about the dangers of folly. And so you can see larger paragraphs, larger sections that are discussing the value of wisdom. Once you hit chapter 10 of Proverbs, then you start to get into more of the loosely collected sayings that are not as tightly bound together in themes. And so it's not uncommon in a chapter of Proverbs to kind of go all over the place between the way we use our words to our relationships to diligence and work and just talking about all the different things in life where we need to apply God's wisdom. And so we're going to, for the rest of our time in this study, the second half over the next few weeks, we're going to do more of a thematic study from those last chapters of Proverbs, just because they lend themselves a little bit more to a topical study. And so tonight, he's looking at, in the chapter number 7, he's looking at kind of an overall theology of Proverbs, what Proverbs teaches us about God. And just as a reminder, Proverbs are short sayings. They're intended to be short because they're intended to be memorable. They're general observations about life, about the way things work in God's world. But as we think about that, we also need to think about the fact that Proverbs are unique. They're unique in that they are different from other Proverbs. And I think toward the beginning of this series, I mentioned that many cultures have proverb-like literature. We have Proverbs. A stitch in time saves nine. The early bird gets the worm. Those are short, memorable sayings. And so many ancient cultures, such as Egypt, such as Babylon, they had proverbial sayings as well. But what sets the biblical Proverbs apart, what makes them unique, is that they are uniquely filtered through other biblical revelation. And so they take as a foundation the fear and the worship of the one true God. That is what sets them apart. And so it's not just a pragmatic approach to life, like other Proverbs might teach us. But it is a life lived in wisdom under God, under his authority. And all of these individual sayings and all of these practical ways of living fit into that overall perspective of this is how we live for God. This is how we walk in his ways. And so that's what makes Proverbs a little bit different from some of the other wisdom literature in the ancient world. And tonight, what he's going to do is spend some time talking about the different attributes of God that are revealed in Proverbs. And he's going to spend his time mainly on four of those attributes of God: his omniscience, his omnipotence, his justice, and his grace. And so we'll spend some time looking at that this evening. And so one of the questions is, as we think about Proverbs, as we think about wisdom literature in general, how is it that we can even know God? How can we know these attributes of God? Well, God really is gracious, isn't he? In that he has revealed himself. God has spoken, and he's spoken in various ways. One of the ways that he has spoken is in the things that he's made. So we read, for example, in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So in just looking at the natural world, we see God's fingerprints, if you will. We see his handiwork. So that tells us there's a God. That tells us that there's a God who is wise, who is powerful, who is a God of design and wonder and beauty. But he's also gone beyond that, and he has revealed himself more specifically through his prophets, such as Moses, through King David, through, in the New Testament, through his apostles, Paul and Peter and James. Ultimately, he's revealed himself through his son, hasn't he? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and brought God to us in the flesh. But so God has been gracious. He's revealed himself to us. And what we have in Proverbs is a further, further material of God's special revelation that is building on the foundation of the law. So thinking of it from an Old Testament perspective, we have the books of Moses, the law of God that Moses received on Mount Sinai. That served as the foundation of theology, the foundation of ethics for Israel as God's people. Proverbs is not trying to reinvent the wheel, if you will. It's really building on that foundation of the law of God and showing us how in aspects of everyday life we can put it into practice, such as in our relationships or in our work, in our marriages, in the way that we talk to one another. So just very practically, how do we apply God's truth to our lives? And so the way that we can know God is because he's spoken. He's revealed himself to us. And in the book of Proverbs, it teaches us some things about God and his character. And one of those is his omnipotence. And whenever you see that little prefix, omni, it basically means all. And you can probably see the root there of potent, strong, powerful. And so it means God is all powerful. God is supremely powerful. He is the almighty creator. And we see that power demonstrated in creation. He made everything out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. In fact, we read earlier in Proverbs chapter 8, where wisdom is personified as being there with God in the beginning of creation. And God spoke. He spoke his wisdom. He spoke through his word. And in some ways, we could even see Christ in that, can't we? Because in the New Testament, it's revealed that Jesus is the Word. He is the Word of God. He is the one who acts as God's agent and creates the world. And so God's almighty. He makes the world. And that has a ramification. The ramification of the fact that God is creator is that he owns us. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it and all who dwell in it." So everything belongs to God because he made it. Therefore, we are accountable to him. He is the Lord. He is the almighty God. And one of the other aspects of God's power that we see in Proverbs is the way that God works in providence. We see this in several places in the book of Proverbs. I think one chapter where we see it a lot, there are several verses in Proverbs 16 that show us kind of the interplay between our plans and God's providence over the world. And so, for example, I think it's Proverbs 16:9 that says, a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So we plan, but our plans are ultimately subservient to God's plan. And he is providentially working in all things, even our plans. We read, for example, in Proverbs 21, that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wills. We read in Proverbs 16:33 that even something as what seems insignificant as the casting of a lot is overseen by the Lord. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. So it's almost like, you know, even a flip of the coin, a roll of a dice, the casting of a lot is within God's overall providence of in his universe. And so that leads us to then an application. This is not just theology for the sake of knowing theology. This is not just so that we can know great things about the Bible. All theology has a practical application. And when we think about God's power, it ought to humble us. It ought to humble us and remind us that we're just mortal creatures and that we're frail. And that we're here on this earth for a very short time. And we don't control as many things as we think that we do. It should bring us to humility before God. And one of the things that we see in Proverbs regarding that is that Proverbs warns us about putting trust in ourselves, in our own wisdom. I've mentioned this verse a couple of times where it says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Putting trust in ourselves can lead us astray. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, probably many of us have that memorized. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What does it say? Lean not on your own understanding. So if we put trust in ourselves, a lot of times we will end up in trouble because we don't have the big picture like God does. So we need to humble ourselves and put our trust in him. And so God's all powerful. Also in the book of Proverbs, we see that God is omniscient, meaning that he has all knowledge. All knowledge. God is perfectly knowledgeable of everything in the universe, past, present, and future. And this also entails God's wisdom. Proverbs is a book about wisdom, isn't it? The book of Proverbs, which reveals wisdom from God, is just a small portion of the infinite wisdom that God is. So he has communicated to us, he's revealed his wisdom to us, but God is perfect wisdom, isn't he? God is perfectly wise. And he's revealed that wisdom to us in his word, and his word is true, and it is sufficient for all that we need to live for him. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says. It says, all scripture is given by God. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So everything that we need to live for God is given to us in his word. God has given us that wisdom. God is wise. God knows everything. He knows everything comprehensively. We read in the scriptures that God knows when a sparrow falls. He knows when a hair falls from our heads. For some of us, that's easier than for others. Easy for me. But God knows all those things, right? His knowledge is perfect. It's comprehensive. He knows all the details of the world. But it's not an abstract knowledge. It's a personal knowledge. He knows us intimately. He knows us relationally. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. Proverbs 15, verse 11 says, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? Or Proverbs 16, 2, where it says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. God knows us. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That sometimes we don't even know our own motives as well as God knows them. God can see everything in this world, including the deep recesses of our hearts. He knows us personally. And that ought to also humble us. It ought to humble us and remind us that our knowledge is small. We're not as smart as we think we are. God is so much more infinitely wise. And I think we especially need that in our day because we live in an age of exponentially growing knowledge, don't we? And we are tempted as a human race at this point in history to put an awful lot of confidence in ourselves and our abilities to find things out scientifically or to explore the universe or to see the minuscule at the atomic level. I was reading something the other day that blew my mind. A scientist in the Netherlands has come up with a way to encode information at the atomic level. And at that size, at the atomic level, how minuscule that is, you could put all of the books that have ever been written in the history of the world on the size of a postage stamp. You could put the whole contents of the Library of Congress in a cube that was 0.3 millimeters high by 0.3 millimeters wide, 0.3 millimeters deep. That's how small they've gotten to be able to encode information at the level of the atoms. Now, it's a long way off from having any kind of practical, your computers aren't going to be using that anytime soon. But it shows how far we are moving, how fast we're moving, and the temptation, I think, for us is to put our hope in that, to put our trust in our abilities. But no matter how much we know, no matter how much we find out, no matter how much the internet grows, there's still so much that we don't know. God is infinitely wise. He knows the whole universe, inside and out, every aspect of it. And on top of that, God not only knows everything, but he is wisely able to know how to use that knowledge. Here's the difference between knowledge and wisdom, isn't there? You can have access to all the information on the internet, and you can badly misuse it, right? Well, God not only has all knowledge, but he knows how to use it. He is wise, and he has all the pieces put together. And so we need to remember that, and we need to humble ourselves before God and seek to purify our hearts because of how much he knows us and he can see our hearts. One of the main themes of Proverbs, and I think this comes up probably more than any other aspect of God's character in the book of Proverbs, and that is God's justice. I think at the heart of proverbial thinking, of wisdom thinking, is that righteousness is rewarded and evil is punished. I think that's really at the heart. And that has to do with the justice of God, that those who choose the wrong path, that they will be held accountable for their rebellion. And those who choose the path of God and his wisdom will enjoy the benefits of that. And that's really the two ways of the wise man and the foolish man in the book of Proverbs. And that is rooted in the justice of God. And so wisdom pays and folly destroys because God is just. One of the things that we see in Proverbs is that God's justice is perfect. God's justice is perfect. How can God's justice be perfect? Well, because he's all-knowing and he's all-wise. It's hard for us, you know, in a court of law to get it right every time, isn't it? Because there are things that we don't know. We've read about in the paper, or we've seen stories where someone who was convicted 20 years ago, now they've seen DNA evidence that disproves that, and that person is later acquitted. Well, that shows our imperfect knowledge, doesn't it? God has perfect knowledge. He knows what every person does. He even knows the motives of their heart. And so God's justice is perfect. One of the things that's tough for us in living in this world, and this was a dilemma for a lot of biblical characters. You can see it in Job. You can see it in Habakkuk, other biblical characters. But one of the things that they struggled with is the timing of God's justice and the way God's justice is acted out in the world. Because as you look at the world, and the psalmist in Psalm 73 struggled with this too. Because when he looked at his world, he didn't see things operating on a Proverbs level, where the wise are rewarded and the foolish are punished. As the psalmist of Psalm 73 looked out at the world, as Habakkuk looked out at the world, as Job saw what was happening in his life, it didn't look like a Proverbs type world, where everything was working according to plan and God's justice was always on time and every sin was immediately punished. God's justice doesn't work like that. God's ways are so much infinitely higher above our ways. And the way he is weaving all things together, we can't understand. And we want justice to happen quickly. We want it to happen fast. We want it to be right now. But what God is telling Habakkuk, what God taught Job, what God is teaching us in different parts of his word is that God is just. He is perfectly just, but we need to trust him in the way that justice is meted out. Because there are times when people they're just rebels, and yet they look like they're living a life of blessing. But one of the things that we need to remember is that a life of blessing is not as easy as looking at a person's bank account. Right? Because someone may have a lot of wealth, someone may have a lot of fancy things, a nice home, but maybe as depressed as anyone else, if not more so. It's not uncommon for wealthy people, famous people, to become depressed, some of them to commit suicide. sometimes the things that we say are a tremendous blessing, maybe not as much of a blessing as we think it is. But yet, living in God's ways is rewarding. It's its own reward. And in the end, at the end times, when Jesus comes as the perfect judge of all the earth, he's going to set everything right, isn't he? It's all going to be set right. We may want it to happen faster, but it will be set right in God's own time. And so in the meantime, we just have to trust, and we have to live in light of the fact that God is just, that God does hold people accountable for their actions, that he does punish wrongdoers. May not be exactly the way that we want or in the timing that we want, but God's justice is perfect. It may be slow from our perspective, but it's always perfect and it's always right. And so we need to live in light of God's justice, remembering that he is just. And also, we need to trust God's justice and not seek to take vengeance into our own hands. That's what Paul says in Romans 12, that when we are wronged, don't seek vengeance. Don't repay evil for evil with evil, but repay evil with good. Because God is the one who will, in the end, set everything right. So God is omniscient, he's all-powerful, he is just, and then he concludes the lesson by reminding us of God's grace. God is a gracious God. And that's important for us to think about in the context of Proverbs, because as you read through Proverbs, remember, you've got to set the Proverbs within the larger framework of the whole Bible. And I think if we just read Proverbs on its own, we might come to the wrong conclusion that God's world operates in a strict mathematical formula of I do this, this happens. 2 + 2 = 4. But we know that real life isn't like that, right? Real life is more complex than that. Job found that out, didn't he? In a way, the book of Job is like Job's friends who came to him accusing him. They were almost like someone who was taking a very narrow view of Proverbs and applying that to a broad view of life. And so when Job was in trouble and all these afflictions were happening to him, what did his friends say? Well, taking a very strict proverbial view of things, well, if your life is miserable, that means you must have done something wrong, right? Very strict mathematical way of thinking about it, a cause and effect way of thinking about it. But what the book of Job teaches us is that God's ways are so much more complex than that. It's not always that easy. And another example of that is that the book of Proverbs contains these short sayings, but they're general truths. They don't take into account every factor, every qualification, every option. So the one who is taught the right things, if you bring up a child in the ways of the Lord, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, we know that that doesn't always work out that way. And I've seen parents beat themselves up over and over with that verse thinking I must have done something wrong when there are many, many other factors at work. Life is more complex than that. And so we need to remember that God is gracious. God's world is not just about if you do this, you get this. You do this, you get this. It's God is gracious, isn't he? He is gracious. God is holy, and our holiness is not anywhere near where God's holiness is. We're sinners. God is perfectly holy. And left to ourselves, we would deserve judgment, wouldn't we? We deserve judgment because of our sin. But even in the book of Proverbs, we're reminded that there is hope for sinners. There's hope through the mercy of God. In Proverbs, there is forgiveness for those who repent. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs even talks about atonement for sin. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. So God offers atonement and forgiveness by his grace. And then lastly, we also need to remember that Proverbs is one portion of God's truth that is fit together, linked with all the rest of his truth that he has revealed to us. And that's now complete, isn't it, in the New Testament? And so we have knowledge now that God is abundantly gracious and he has sent his one and only Son into the world to be our atoning sacrifice, to show us grace and to save us even though we don't deserve it. And so praise God that his justice is taken care of at the cross of Calvary and that God can show us mercy in the person of Jesus Christ. So these are just a few things. I mean, we could probably go into Proverbs and look at more of the aspects of God's character, but these are some kind of big attributes of God that are revealed to us in the book of Proverbs.